Welcome back to The Avenue. I'm your host, Zara Chanel. Welcome back, guys. I'm happy to be back. I hope you guys are feeling refreshed. I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you guys had family, and I hope you guys were renewed by the energy. Praise God. And if you weren't, I mean, it's over. It's one day. It's over. I cooked a lot. I ate a lot. I actually got to be a guest at someone's house this year, and that hasn't happened in such a long time. I think me and the kids were actually more excited to get out of the house because we had been in the house the whole week off. You know, we all had that week off. We're in the house the whole time. So it was good to get out. And I actually had a squash casserole for the first time, and it was pretty good. And I will be attempting to make that myself. I am already trying to get my Christmas menu together. I'm trying to switch it up a little bit this year, and all my kids want to eat is cornbread anyway. So you know what? I'm going to make them a big old pan of cornbread and call it a day. I'm not trying to go all out for these children because they don't appreciate the hard work that mommy puts into these dishes, honey. But my husband and I, we are at the point where we are literally making them eat. Like, you don't have to eat it all, but you have to eat some of it. You need to eat all the food groups, not just bread, okay? Bread and juice, that's all they want. So how did you guys grow up? Did you guys grow up in households where you had to eat whatever was on the plate? I surely did. I could not get up until that plate was clean. And now as an adult, I feel that is why I eat so much, because sometimes I'll just be eating and I'm like, I'm not even hungry anymore, but I'm still eating because I have to see a plate clean. I'm conditioned to clean my plate. I don't make my kids clean their plates, but I'm like, you have to eat some of it. So that is my personal theory. And I think I'm going to set a personal goal for myself to not completely clean every plate that I eat. Okay, I don't completely clean, but I'm gonna leave some food. It's okay if there is food left on the plate. So if you guys do not know, I live in a small town in Mississippi, very close-knit, everybody knows each other kind of place. And I was in class today and the students were talking about what they ate over the holiday, and a lot of them are definitely still doing the chitlin thing. And you know, I thought that was kind of passing a little bit, but no, baby, it is alive and well. I actually had a young man in my class told me that he had pigtails. I've never seen anybody eat that part of the pig. He said that they were extremely tender, and I just thought to myself, wow, what year is this that everybody's eating hog mogs and chitlins and pigtails? I feel like I time worked, like I walked back in time. Now, of course, I didn't say anything. I just thought this to myself because people are very sensitive. I don't talk about, you know, people's culture because I'm not trying to get into it with anyone. And I'm not trying to act all high and mighty myself because I used to tear some chitlins up. My mother made them. I mean, I grew up eating that stuff and it was good with a little hot sauce. But I had to stop doing it. I had to let it go. But you know what? If you want to eat your chitlins and your pig feet, that's your business. Because I don't even think that stuff is any worse than eating hot dogs or bologna. I think it's all the same crap, to be honest with you, just in different form. All right, so let's move along and let's do a little update on Chad Loves Michelle. If you guys do not know what Chad Loves Michelle is, it is a show on the OWN Network starring Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child and her fiance, Chad Johnson, who is a pastor. I am a big Destiny's Child fan. I'm sorry, I am. So anything that those three women are doing, it's hard for me to not be interested in. We all know Michelle is going through her recovery from depression. She's suffering. So on the show, she's going to therapy, and they're doing individual therapy and joint therapy, which is very good because she says that's what she needs. So I hope that, you know, helps her, and they seem to be committed towards the relationship. I hope that Chad is in it for the right reasons, because sometimes I get a vibe from him. I kind of get, you know, y'all know I don't like to be messy on this podcast. This is not the mess podcast because there are like a million other mess podcasts, but he just gives me a vibe. And, you know, we got to look out for our girl, Michelle. All right. And I kind of feel like he likes all the lights, camera actions of it all. I feel like he likes the pomp and circumstance. I feel like he likes the fact that he has a celebrity on his arm. And sometimes I feel like he might be using that to elevate his church. Well, excuse me, he doesn't have a church. He is a pastor and he is relocated to Los Angeles, and he's trying to figure out how he's going to work out on ministry in Los Angeles. And I'm like, okay, well, this whole show and this whole engagement, obviously that's going to put, you know, in a, put you in a certain level of popularity. So that'll give you an audience or a congregation as it is. So Chad, let me tell you something, Chad, you better not be using on Michelle, to get your congregation popping. You better not be doing it, Chad. Cause let me tell you something. What goes on in the dark will come out in the light, and we're gonna see you for exactly who you are. But you know what? These pastors nowadays, they get away with a lot of stuff, and they are still on the pulpit, still pastoring some mega churches. It's something about these mega churches, honey. So much corruption in the pulpit. And I knew it at a young age. I didn't even know anything about church corruption and what was really going on. But I just felt like this is not right. I went to a mega church once in Houston, and I was like, not failing this. You know what? I'm not even going to give you all the details of why. But it came out later that there was corruption in the pulpit. A lot of these pastors will tell you, I used to sell drugs. A lot of pastors used to be former drug dealers. And I think that this, you know, the church can be a new hustle because they have that hustle mentality, the mentality of a hustler. And hustlers like easy money. They're not going to go out there and try to go work in a coal mine. Do people still coal mine? I don't know. They like easy money. So this is a new way to hustle money out of people, giving them messages of hope for the dollar. But how many corrupt churches would you say there are in ratio to just non-corrupt churches? I would say probably like maybe 50 to one church. So every 50 churches, there'll be one that's legit, that's really out here trying to save souls. And you know what? 50 might be generous. Probably more like 100 to one, to be honest. And honey, we are not going to make this the bash the church episode, but I have been to some churches. I've been to many churches in my life, and not everyone is called to pastor. Everybody is not supposed to be up there in the pulpit. And if you are sitting up under a pastor who is not giving you anything, you sitting up in a dead church, you're not getting anything. Your soul is not receiving anything. Your life is not improving in any way. You're not getting any seeds to change your life, honey. Maybe it's time to move around. It is time to move around, honey. I have stories, but no, we're not going to make this the bash the church episode. We're not going to do that. Okay, side note, real quick side note. So I used to live in Houston, and there was this church, and they had two services. Well, the pastor had two different churches, so he had to be at two churches on Sunday. So someone who was part of the congregation was like, yeah, girl, he has a jet. So he flies from one church to the other on a jet. Now, Houston is not that big that you need to jet from one church to another. But what is this pastor doing? What is he telling his congregation to make them give him money for a jet? Was there like a jet offering? Because, honey, these people pull it out. Was he like, give your offerings for the jet so I can save more souls on Sunday? Was that what he did? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But you know what? Pastors and ministers, they're people just like us. And sometimes when we get a hold of a lot of money, we don't know how to handle it because we've never had that amount of money before. So when you give it to us, it's just, we just don't know what to do with ourselves. We get greedy. We want more and more. And greed is a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Before you know it, you pastoring and you passing the collection plate around 3 and 4 times during one service. You know, it's horrible. You know what? If I had the calling to preach, I would do it because I know I would honestly be out here trying to help people and make a difference in people's lives and communities and not just spending people's money. But that is not my calling. Well, maybe it is. You never know what the future holds. Can you imagine that? Pastor Zara. Pastor Zara. Well, I would not be ziplining through my church. I wouldn't be doing that. Did y'all see that video with the pastor ziplining through the congregation? And I'm like, okay, what are you talking about, sir? What's the message behind this? How much of the church money did you spend to buy a zipline? With all of that going on, that better be one heck of a message. I don't want to hear about no Jesus died and he rose on the third day. Don't tell me that. But let me tell you, I'm good at sniffing out some mess. A shady pastor, I can sniff them out. Or a dead church, I can sniff it out. I only have to be in attendance at that service once to say, okay, this is not going to work for me. This church is dead. This pastor is not talking about anything that can help my life. And sometimes you might have been in a, you might have started out at a church, and then you have realized this church has done nothing for me lately. This church hath not helped me growth. I'm not growing here. I'm stagnant. These sermons is stagnant. This choir is stagnant. And it might be time for you to move on. And that's okay too. Because sometimes we just stay so loyal to a church because maybe this church had helped you a lot, out a lot. Maybe when you first started going to the church, you was homeless and they gave you somewhere to stay. And but, you know, it's deeper than that. We are trying to elevate as people every day to grow and to be better people. And if this church is not doing nothing for you, you might have to move on. No hard feelings, but this is about your personal journey. Have you ever been to a church service and you have said to yourself, now there is a lot going on here, but God is not here. I don't feel the presence. If God is in that church, you will feel it. You'll feel it during worship, prayer, something, during the sermon, something. But sometimes God is not present in every church. Oh, yes. And I would also like to say, don't be so quick to join the church. Stay a while and observe, feel it out, because, you know, the longer you're somewhere, everything will come to the light and you'll start to see the church for what it really is. So, you know, just scope it out. You don't have to join the first, second day. And before you join, maybe you might want to find out, okay, so when I do join, what are going to be my obligations? Because some churches want you to be an usher. Then they want you to go cook the fried chicken. Then they want you to watch the kids. Then they want you to be over youth quiet. And it's one of you, they just running you ragged. So make sure you know what's required of you. And make sure that all these requirements are requirements that you are willing to meet. You know yourself. Certain thing, there are certain things, not even in church, but in school, I don't even get into. People ask me, no, I can't do it because I know myself. I'm not going to be able to meet those obligations. I know myself. I'm going to be tired. Nope. Tuesday, I'm going to be tired. I got class and I got kids. So at that time, can't do it. I'm going to be tired. So I'm not going to set myself up for things that I'm not able to commit to. I'm not able to commit to it. Say no. Can we talk about that last podcast? We have to learn to say no. We have to learn to say no without feeling bad about it. You have to say no and move on. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about my experience with the first and only church that I have ever joined in my life. This is the first church that I've felt compelled to join. Now, I do go to a church now, and I'm not a member, but I attend regularly. I just feel the presence of God is there. Maybe it might not be my style, but the presence of God is there. So that's why I have been continuing to go. But let's talk about the church that I did join. So the reason why I joined this church is because, well, first of all, the pastor was a woman. And I really felt a connection to her. And not that that means anything, but when you've gone through some of the things that I've gone through, sometimes it's hard for me to trust a man. I mean, but we'll get into that later. So I trusted her. I felt some trust for her. And she kind of took me under her wing like a daughter. And I really appreciated that. Another thing that I also, she just was very honest. She was honest about everything, about the things that she had gone through. When I first joined, she gave me a book. And it was about her life story. And she honestly went through some of the same things that I went through growing up. So I related to her in that way. Also, she was really okay, but that's just personal stuff. And, you know, personal is not about being friends with the pastor, because I'm never going to be the type to be like, I'm trying to be BFFs with the pastor. No, not going to do that. She really knew the Bible. She really knew the word of God. You know, I like people who are versed in the word. Like when I go to church, I want to hear, you know, that you've been in the book. Okay. She talks about everything. You know, some pastors skimp over stuff, you know, little things that they got going on. They might skimp over that. But she talks about everything. Another thing that I also liked about her was that once a year she opened the church financials. She opened the books and she showed us where the money was going. And I really appreciated that. Another thing, there was only one offering during the service. So the plate would go around once and that was it. Oh, side note. So how do y'all feel about tithing? Do you actually tithe the 10% or do you give a dollar? Because, you know, we good. Black folks, we good for throwing a dollar in the envelope. Like, like, what are they going to do with a dollar? What is the church going to do with a dollar? Seriously, they trying to keep their lights on. Okay, they got a mortgage or whatever, a rent, whatever they got going on. What are they going to do with $1, y'all? Stop being so cheap. You spend more than that at, you know, on lunch. Okay. And then you try to take the dollar and boil it up real, real small because you don't want nobody to see that you putting a dollar in the plate. Uh-huh. I see that dollar rolled up. But on a serious note, the two most things that I loved about that church is that when I was there, I felt closer to God. I felt God there. When I had my stuff together and I would attend regularly because, you know, sometimes, let's not get into that. And I also felt like it was like food. Going to church, it was really feeding me spiritually. And it was helping me to be the woman that I wanted to be, or this idea of this godly woman that I wanted to be. Because I have been going like to churches in and out, but it's always been inside of me, like church, God, it's just inside of me. Even when I haven't been going to church, it's just been into me because, you know, I'm God's child. You know what I'm saying? I'm a child of God. So naturally, I'm going to want to go congregate with his other children. But yes, that church is miles away. And who's to say I might go back to that church if I move back to Texas, I might go back to that church and maybe I might have outgrown that church and I might need something a little different. And then I might have to find somewhere else. That's just the way it goes. So I hope you guys listen to everything I said. And if you're looking for a church or you're feeling a little about where you're at, you know, just I hope I helped you. And I hope you can take some of my advice and, you know, move accordingly. Okay, so Red Table Talk, you know, we love to talk about Red Table Talk here. Because it's like a little therapy session for us women. We love to watch it and, you know, it makes us feel good about ourselves. But I actually watched the last two episodes at once because I missed the last one. And the last podcast episode, I didn't talk about it because I had my kids on. If you missed that, you can go listen to my little stink butts and, you know, see what they had to say. So I watched the episode about domestic abuse and her mom talked about her dealing with domestic abuse. Jada was crying. Of course, everybody was crying. I cried a little bit. Of course, you know, domestic abuse is horrible. There's nothing, you know, what can I say about that? We know we've heard the stories. Thank God I've never had to go through anything like that in a relationship. Of course, I've been in abusive relationships, but it's been more verbal than anything or mental, you know, dating manipulative men, because that is definitely something that's probably not talked about enough. But yeah, sometimes, you know, you get in a situation with men and they are, you know, they realize that you're easy to manipulate. So of course they go and take advantage of you. But this episode of Red Table Talk was more about physical abuse. You know, I just don't understand how a man can just beat a woman like that. Like, women are so precious, and you know, when I see a woman, you should see God in us. Like, we create life, we bring forth life in this world. Like, how can you look at a beautiful woman who you know loves you and just beat the crap out of her? I just don't get it. You know, they alluded to learned behavior and blah, 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 blah. But I will never understand how a man can beat up a woman. Now, I understand if, you know, a woman is always hitting on a man and he snaps. I get that because, you know, we're all human and it's like, oh, that doesn't make it right. But I would understand, like, okay, she's always beating you up and then one time you just snap. You know, I can kind of more understand that than men who just, like, beat up women. Just, like, innocent, helpless woman that... Oh, punching a woman in the face, that is just like, oh my God. And, you know, if you're in a situation like this, or you know somebody who is in a situation like this, you need to leave. And if you know somebody, urge them to leave. Don't stay in that. It's not going to get no better. They might stop for a while, but it's not going to get no better. So you got to get out of there. Be safe. All right, so moving on. These were not the feel-good episodes of the season. The next episode was about divorce, and they had Toni Braxton. Yo, Toni Braxton looks good, man. I don't know what she's eating, because she talked about she has lupus. I've never seen anybody with lupus look that good. I mean, shut up, Sarah. But yeah, I've never seen anybody with lupus look that good. She looks good. Body is snatched. And she just got candid about her divorce. And you know me, I'm like, girl, why are you up there talking about the details of you and your husband's divorce, knowing you still got to do Christmases together with this guy? That's a little awkward. I mean, I will understand if he was on the set with them or something, but it's going to be a little awkward when, you know, the world knows that you had to pay him alimony. Now he's feeling away because you're on TV. But anyways, Jada's mom is on her fourth marriage. And I was just like, wow, I don't know if I could go there four times. But, you know, I guess it's better than just being out here sleeping with all these dudes. I guess, you know, you get married and make it legal. But four marriages, girl, I'm just like, I don't even know if I could make it to a second one. Like, if this one didn't work out, it would be hard for me to just fully just throw myself in another man's arms. And I don't know. But you know what? I did have this conversation with myself, because I really feel like the devil does not want me to be married. I feel like the devil wants my life to just be in turmoil. So I said, you know what? If something did happen and this marriage did not work, then yes, I would get married again. I'm going to say that. And I would want my husband to, you know, take a year off, at least, you know, mourn me for a year or whatever. But, you know, is there a mourning time? Do you feel like you cannot, you know, and I follow this guy on Instagram, and his wife or his baby mama, whatever, she died, and 9 months later he was in a new relationship. Is that too soon? Can we put a time stamp on stuff like that? I don't want to say you should, because the person is gone. They're never coming back. But then, you know, you keep putting up posts about how much you miss them, but you already got a new boo. So it's just weird. So those of you who have a spouse, did you talk to your spouse about, you know, if of course you talk to them about this, but, you know, I just had a conversation with my husband. I was like, look, if something happens to you, you know what I need you to do? I need you to take a few pieces of paper, and I need you to write down all the information, everything I need to know, save combinations, phone numbers, people I need to go see, because I need to know how to handle everything. I don't need you checking out and me looking lost like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Just write stuff. I need to be prepared. And I said, for me, I told him, this is what I want. I said, you know what? Bury me. You know, I want you to take me to Houston or wherever y'all go. Bury me there, because I don't want to be buried here in Mississippi, because ain't nobody going to come see me. Ain't nobody going to come to my gravesite. And that's the purpose of having a gravesite, right? For people to visit you. But I told him, you know, I would rather be in a mausoleum. I told him, at my funeral, make sure my eyebrows are done properly. That's so shallow, right? I said, make sure my eyebrows are on fleek. I said, make sure whatever dress you have on me, I don't want my arms showing. Make sure my arms are covered. Make sure my head is not propped up to where I have a double chin. You know, make sure I look good. That's so shallow. Anyways, but, you know, honestly, we need to have these kinds of conversations, because you never know what life will throw at you. R.I.P. to Kim Porter. Honey, So Kim Porter, of course, we know is Diddy, or Sean Combs, whatever you want to call him. His baby's mother died suddenly at 47. She went into cardiac arrest. And this was a healthy lady, in shape. She has 3 kids, and her youngest are 11-year-old twins. So it's just so sad. You just never know. And, you know, things like this happen, and you're just like, man, you just never know what life will throw at you. So you got to be kind of prepared, or you know the cliches, tell the people you love them and call them and hug them. And it's real, because you never know what conversation could end up being the last conversation. You know, I'm really just these young people dying every day. I was just on social media, and two rappers from Houston got killed. They were outside of a strip club. Somebody just came up to the car shooting from behind, killed both of the guys, and they were young guys. I just can't. These young people dying, it just don't sit well with me. I guess it's because I'm getting a little bit older, and these people, they're younger than me, like 20s, and it's just I can't take. Like, it just really hurts me to see these young people getting buried, because I think about their families, their mamas. Oh man, these are supposed to be the people who are changing the world right now. These are supposed to be the movers and the shakers. These are the people who are supposed to be out there protesting, because I ain't finna be out protesting nowhere. I got so many kids to be, to end up in a jail cell for protesting. These are the people who are supposed to be out here doing this, changing the world. And, the young people are going. We need the young men. We need the young people. But you know what? Maybe that's why our young people are targets. That's a whole nother show. Okay, my beautiful baby, so let's just do a health check real quick. I haven't done a health check in a while, but I just want to encourage you guys to get a physical, go check your blood pressure. I recently checked my blood pressure, and it was a little tad bit high. I wasn't happy with that, but I think it's from eating a lot of processed food, because I've been eating a lot of like soy meat and stuff like that. And yeah, I got to cut out the processed stuff, and I'm not exercising. So that's really what it is. Like, when you get older, you have to start working out. So get a physical, start eating healthier, and definitely work out. I have to start working out, as much as I dread it. Even though in Houston, I didn't really work out when I lived there, but I was doing a lot more because it was just stuff to do. And here I really don't do anything, so I have to definitely work out to keep my body in shape, because I want to be here for a while. I need to meet my grandkids. I want to see my grandbabies. I got young kids. I got a 3-year-old son, so I got to see his kids. So I plan on being here for a while, and I want you to do that too. So go get a physical. If you can't do that, go on Walgreens or Walmart, go check your blood pressure, make sure everything's goody. All right. Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up with that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking through that. And if you know what, you ain't a churchy kind of person. Thank you for sitting through all the churchy talk today. I really appreciate it. God bless you. And I pray that you're blessed. I pray that your family is blessed. I hope that, all of your endeavors are blessed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I am on Facebook at The Avenue with Zara Chanel. I am on Instagram at The Avenue ZC. I have an email at TheAvenueZC@gmail.com. Feel free to contact me on either one of those. I have some merch up at ZCT's, but the link for that is also on my Instagram, The Avenue ZC. Thank you so much for listening, you beautiful people. And that is today's episode, and I will see you next week. Be blessed.